It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owensby's cooking.
Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 7th of June, the 158th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 207 days left until the end of the year. Eid Mubarak to those of you celebrating. We'll hear a special piece of music for the occasion in just a moment. But first, let me read you a letter from Amir Jamil, the president of the RFI Online Visitors Club in Sahiwal, Pakistan, about today's festivities. Here's Amir's letter. Eid ul-Adha, known as the Festival of Sacrifice, is a time of deep spiritual reflection, gratitude, and generosity. As we commemorate the unwavering faith and devotion of Prophet Hazrat Ibrahim, peace be upon him, through his willingness to make the ultimate sacrifice, we are reminded of the values of compassion, selflessness, and charity. This blessed occasion brings families and communities together to share joy, kindness, and blessings with those in need. May this Eid bring peace, happiness, and prosperity to you and your loved ones. Wishing you a joyful celebration filled with love, unity, and renewed faith. May Allah accept our sacrifices and good deeds. Thank you, Amir, and hello to all the members of the RFI Online Visitors Club. Anjana Parvin, the secretary of the Shetu RFI Listeners Club in Naugaon, Bangladesh, wrote and requested a special song for today, which she says expresses the joy of Eid ul-Adha. The song is Eid ul-Adha Mubarak, which was written by Babu and Shanawaz and is sung by Nawal Khan.
का दिन ईद उल अज़हा है एक सआदत का।
was Eid ul-Adha Mubarak by Babu and Shahnawaz, sung by Nawal Khan. Music requested by Anjana Parvin, the secretary of the Shetu RFI Listeners Club in Naugaon, Bangladesh. Thanks, Anjana, for the suggestion, and hello to all the members of the Shetu RFI Listeners Club. Eid Mubarak, everyone.
This is the Sound Kitchen. You never know what you'll be served.
The Sound Kitchen team is complete. Erwan Rome, our trusty sound engineer, is behind the glass window in front of us at his mixing board. And Paul Myers, also known as Baby Brother, is right here next to me. Say hello, Baby Brother.
Hello, Big Sister. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. What about you? I've just heard. I didn't see it. I've just heard you're a television star now.
That's
you
correct.
You were on
yes.
France 24. Yes. France 24.
France 24, yeah.
And why? Because
Talking about Paris Saint-Germain's victory in the Champions League. I'd been reading some of my articles on the RFI website, and they called me in to talk about the success. So I went on and spoke about the success with a sports business professor, a man called Professor Simon Chadwick, someone I've spoken to actually for our RFI articles over the years. He was on somewhere in England, in Coventry, I think he was. And I was there in the studio with the anchor and watching the images from the Champs-Élysées, everyone getting excited. And I had to say, well, just make a few comments on it and then come up with a few facts and try to sound and look intelligent.
how hard was that?
That was actually the real challenge. The latter.
We've been teasing Paul, listeners, and saying, uh-oh, now he's going to become a TV star and we won't have him on the Sound Kitchen anymore unless we pay him a fee. Because those TV people, that's how they are.
Darling.
But he did promise Erwan and I half price on his autograph because we're old friends.
That's right. Everything is commodified.
So kind of you.
Well, that's the way it goes, darling.
Love you. Mean it.
Mwah.
So off we go. Still to come, the quiz, your answers to the bonus question on the Listener's Corner with Paul, Olio Horton's happy moment, and a tasty musical dessert from Erwan on Music from Erwan. So don't touch that dial.
Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, cuz it's time for the quiz. On the 3rd of May, I asked you a question about women's right to vote. French women were not granted the right to vote until 1944. The first elections in which they voted were the following year. This is long after many of their sisters in other countries. You are to reread our article, How French Women Won and Used Their Right to Vote in 1945, and send in the answer to this question. Which country was the first to grant women the right to vote, and in which year? I also wanted you to send in the names and dates of the countries that followed that groundbreaker. Paul, what's the answer?
To quote our article, New Zealand was the pioneer, granting women the right to vote in 1893, followed by Australia in 1901, Finland in 1906, Denmark in 1915, Uruguay in 1917, Germany in 1918, the United States in 1920, and the United Kingdom in 1928. In addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question suggested by Father Stephen Wara from Bamenda in Cameroon. Father Stephen wanted to know, what big anniversary do you have coming up? A birthday? A wedding? Something else? How will you celebrate it? How many guests will you invite? You'll hear the answers later in the show, so please do stay with us.
The winners of this week's quiz are RFI Listeners Club member Mr. M. Ganesan from Goa, India. Mr. Ganesan is also the winner of this week's bonus question. This is what he wrote. The upcoming function that we have is my elder daughter, Mrs. Swoma's Simantam and Vailai Kapu. Simantam is a traditional South Indian function for pregnant women before the delivery to seek blessings from the elders and is usually held during the 5th, 7th, or 9th month. The Simantam function is arranged by my son-in-law's family and the Vailai Kapu by our side. Most of our close relatives and nearby friends will attend. I think there'll be a minimum of around 100 people. Our side will give bangles, clothes, sweets, fruits, and some gold and silver items. The major ceremony expenses are borne by the son-in-law's family. After the function, the custom is to bring our daughter home for the first baby. Normally, the first delivery expenses are covered by the girl's parents' side, and the second delivery expenses are on the husband's side. Mother and child return to the father's home when the baby is a few months old. I seek the RFI Sound Kitchen team's blessings, and you certainly have them, Mr. Ganesan. And congratulations on your double win, triple, with a grandbaby coming your way. Always a happy occasion, a grandchild, so I hear. Also on the list of lucky winners this week, all women to celebrate our big sister suffragettes who opened the door for us, are Hasina Zaman Hazi, a member of the RFI Amur Fan Club in Rajshahi, Bangladesh, and RFI Listeners Club members Jocelyn Derrico from that ahead-of-their-time country, New Zealand, Yahan Ara Hussein from Odisha, India, and Shaira Hosan Mo from Kishoreganj in Bangladesh. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. Ahead of the third UN Ocean Conference in Nice next week, RFI English journalist Amanda Morrow wrote an article for us, The Big Blue Blind Spot, Why the Ocean Floor is Still an Unmapped Mystery. As Amanda noted in her article, just 26.1% of the global seafloor, including both shallow and deep areas, has been mapped using modern sonar. And nearly two-thirds of all observations happened within 200 nautical miles of just three countries, the United States, Japan, and New Zealand. This leaves entire regions of the ocean floor completely undocumented, particularly in waters around poorer countries that lack the tools and funding for deep-sea research. Explorer and scientist Katie Croft Bell told the journal Scientific American, and I quote, "As we face accelerated threats to the deep ocean, from climate change to potential mining and resource exploitation, this limited exploration of such a vast region becomes a critical problem for both science and policy." End quote. I want you to reread Amanda's article, The Big Blue Blind Spot, Why the Ocean Floor is Still an Unmapped Mystery, and send in the answer to these three questions. How many people do the world's oceans feed per year? How much economic activity is generated by the oceans every year? And what is the percentage of the ocean's waters that are formally protected? Again, three questions. How many people do the world's oceans feed per year? How much economic activity is generated by the oceans every year? And what is the percentage of the ocean's waters that are formally protected? You'll find the answers in Amanda Morrow's excellent article, The Big Blue Blind Spot, Why the Ocean Floor is Still an Unmapped Mystery. You'll find Amanda's article on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, as well as on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. Baby brother, what's the bonus question?
It is, what is the most hilarious thing or situation you've come across in your life, or what or whom made you laugh the most? The question was suggested by Jocelyn Derrico from New Zealand.
Baby brother.
Been having a lot of trouble with this, actually. Lots of happy moments, obviously. Yeah. But the one I remember most recently, which made me just burst out laughing, it's actually about a year or so ago. I was away with an old university mate. We went to Nottingham for the weekend just to look around our old haunts. And there's this really famous pub called Ye Old Trip to Jerusalem, which dates from about 1200. And it is alleged that this is where all the knights who were going off to do their crusades used to stop off for a drink before going off on a crusade. So that's why it was called Ye Old Trip to Jerusalem. And it was a famous pub when we were at university. The answer is coming. anyway, so I was there with Toby, my mate, and I took a picture sitting next to a knight in all his armour and this copper thing. And so I sent this to my sister and said, here's me and Toby in the pub. And my sister returned this message really quickly and said, Toby hasn't changed.
That's a good one.
and because I really did think that was very funny.
It is very funny.
Because it wasn't an answer I was expecting. Otherwise, you're so stupid. It was brilliant. And it really made me laugh because I was still in the pub. And I showed it to Toby. And he went, right, that explains a lot of your humour then, Paul. Because he grew up with that. So that was the... that really just made me burst out laughing. I thought that was hilarious. Many happy moments during my life, obviously. But that one came to mind. Anyway, what about you?
I had a hard time too because I have laughed a lot. Yeah. And I was trying to think what the funniest... the person who has always made me laugh the most is a girlfriend of mine named Susie, who is hysterical. And a long time ago, I was about 20, so we're talking 40 years ago. I've laughed since then, but this story just comes to mind. We were at her house, and she has a swimming pool, and we went down the slide together in every possible configuration, upside down, backwards, and together, right, on top of each other, sidewise. Ooh. No, I know. And her husband was sitting there saying, you guys be careful, because we're out way out in the country. You guys be careful. Emergency room's far. You guys be careful. Anyway, so we were doing that, and we stayed up way, 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 way too late. And the next morning, we had to catch this bird boat at, like, 5, and it was way on the other side of the bay, so we had something like an hour drive. It was crazy. So Brian, her husband, they had this huge, huge painting, wall-sized painting, that was divided like a comic strip into a bunch of different squares, and it was like an aquarium with the water moving in different ways. Brian, so we are moping around about 4 in the morning, and I'm thinking, do I really want to go birding? Brian takes the painting off the wall. It's way bigger than he is, and chases us around the house with it, saying, you're going to see, and I'm not. I mean, it's just stupid, but we really laughed a lot. And I still, 40 years later, every once in a while, I'll think, you're going to see and I'm not, and I'll crack up laughing. So what about you? What's the most hilarious thing, or one of the most hilarious things or situations you've come across in your life, or what or whom made you laugh the most? The question was suggested by Jocelyn Derrico from New Zealand. Answer in your own words. Don't you dare use AI to come up with something funny. Ah, your answer will be disqualified. Remember, we're always happy to hear your ideas for bonus questions, so please send them in. You have until the 30th of June to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question in. Be sure to tune in on the 5th of July to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. Always include your postal mailing address, and if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
I am Yusundu. Hello, RFI English.
And now, more from and about you. It's time for the Listener's Corner. Take it away, baby brother.
The question you answered this week was, what big anniversary do you have coming up? How will you celebrate it? How many guests will you invite? It was suggested by Father Stephen Warrer from Bemenda in Cameroon. So let's start with Father Steve. This is what he wrote. Unfortunately for me, my nearest anniversary this time around has just come and gone. Last month, I celebrated my solemn monastic profession of vows, which I took in 1985. It was performed on a very low-key note, privately. There were no invitations within the cloister of our monastic enclosure, with my brethren praying and thanking God and wishing me many more happy years of faithful service in the Lord's vineyard. There are lots of birthday celebrations coming up. Radhakrishna Pillai's youngest son is among them. This is how they will celebrate. Approximately 40 guests, including close family and friends, will be invited. The menu will feature a traditional sadhya, a Kerala-style feast, keeping in line with our preference for low-key events.
You call 40 guests low-key, Radhakrishna? Whoa.
Yeah, okay, yeah, okay, low-key okay. For me. And Jana Parvin is planning her son's birthday too. Here is her dream birthday for her son. My only child is Nayan. He studies in a normal school in the city. He is a very quiet boy. He doesn't mix with anyone. His 14th birthday is coming up, and I haven't told him that this time I will celebrate his birthday in a very grand manner. The lights will come up, and there will be a shiny cake with candles, and his best friend Rafi will stand in front of the cake with a bunch of balloons. All the teachers and friends surround Nayan with smiles. Nayan will cut the cake while everyone applauds happily. For the first time in his life, he will feel very, very important. At the end of the ceremony, I will hand him a small envelope that will say, "A small gift for your birthday. You are my pride, Nayan." Inside will be a small pen. Nayan's dream is to become a writer. He will close his eyes and think, "This is the best birthday of my life." John Yemi Sande Ture also has a birthday on the horizon, and here's his guest list. Family, friends, and the Sound Kitchen crew, if it is possible. God knows everything, and it is surely going to be a lively and tasty reunion of faithful people.
Debashis Gope will celebrate his 58th birthday this year, and he is inviting all the Sound Kitchen family to attend. Erwan, Paul, we better start to get to work on our travel plans, eh?
Well, if we can't be there, we'll be there in spirit.
That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Malik Muhammad Mektab Kokar doesn't have any big celebrations coming up. Well, maybe not. This is what he wrote. I had my wedding a long time ago and don't plan on having another one. I don't have big lavish birthday parties, so that's out of the question. If there's another child, I'll naturally celebrate the birth with the whole neighbourhood. Everyone who wants to come is invited. It will be a big celebration.
Ah, and there's another baby party in the works, right, baby brother?
Yes, for Dipita Chakrabarti. It's called a rice ceremony, and it's for her cousin's daughter. This is what she wrote. The rice ceremony is a traditional Hindu ritual when a child at 6 months is introduced to solid food from its previous milk-only diet. I hear that my cousin has planned an elaborate party. She's expecting around 150 relatives and friends. We will give our blessings to the child and wish it a long life. Usually, the infant will be dressed in bright-coloured traditional clothes with a headpiece, crown and garland. There will be music and a grand feast after presenting the child with toys, jewellery and baby care products. On the other side of the spectrum, Jocelyn Derrico from New Zealand writes, "If a funeral can be called a celebration, soon I will be involved in a funeral. There will be primarily Maori people, New Zealand's indigenous people, doing karakia. Karakia are Maori prayers or incantations used to invoke spiritual guidance, protection and blessings. They are used in various contexts, from formal ceremonies like tangihanga, farewell to the deceased, and hui, which are meetings, to everyday situations like before meals, before going to bed, or starting the day. Karakia are also considered a formal greeting when beginning a ceremony." Well, how about weddings and anniversaries? Jayanta Chakrabarty has wedding festivities coming up called Haldi. He explains, "My sister's son is getting married, so this Indian pre-married ritual is a must. Haldi paste, Haldi is also known as turmeric, is mixed with sandalwood and will be applied on the body of the groom amidst cheers, music and the blowing of a conch shell. After that, he will have a ceremonial bath. I have learned that a part of the paste will be carried over to the bride's house for an identical function. It is believed that applying Haldi not only enhances the glow of the skin, but also symbolizes purity, luck, and protection against evils. Many close relatives and friends have been invited to celebrate and bless the future groom and join in a sumptuous feast." Hans Werner Lolliker has a wedding anniversary to attend. He wrote, "My father's brother and his wife are going to celebrate their 65th wedding jubilee in July. The celebration will start in the church. Then we, about 25 or 30 people, will go to a restaurant for coffee and after, dinner. There will be songs and talks and small competitions and will last until midnight." Helmut Matt has a wedding anniversary to celebrate this year, his 40th. This is what he wrote. "We have not decided yet what to do. Perhaps we will celebrate with our family. Four brothers, of whom unfortunately only three are still alive, with their children and grandchildren. Or perhaps we will simply go on a trip as we did on our 30th wedding anniversary." We'll end with Rafiqul Islam Kondakar, who is looking forward to the 100th anniversary of his school. This is what he wrote. "My school was established 100 years ago, and we will hold a cultural and food festival to celebrate. Even though we are a non-government school, we have about 1,200 students enrolled. This is where I studied, and now I am a teacher there. So this is a big and memorable anniversary program for me." And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question, suggested by Jocelyn Derrico from New Zealand, is, what is the most hilarious thing or situation you've come across in your life? Or what or whom made you laugh the most? Thanks again, Jocelyn, for the idea. Do you have a bonus question idea? Well, if so, send it to us at thesoundkitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr.
And a reminder, no AI for your answers. The Listener's Corner is about you and what you think. AI-generated answers are disqualified. And that's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating. And a special thanks to Paul Myers for hanging out in the kitchen with us.
Thank you, Big Sister. A pleasure, as always.
Susan Owensby, The Sound Kitchen. Radio France International.
It's time to get happy with Ms. Olya Horton.
Just take a pinch of inspiration, a bunch of good vibes, a drop of creativity, and sprinkle it with sunshine. And there you have the perfect recipe for a happy moment. Hello, Sound Kitchen listeners. Olya Horton from the RFI English team. I hope you're well. This month's happy moment is about the joy of life's simple things. After a whirlwind time at the Cannes Film Festival, I admit I was happy to come back down to earth and have a rest. Although it was very interesting, I was utterly exhausted. By the way, do check out our Cannes 2025 dossier and our YouTube channel to catch any of the action you might have missed. Anyway, I was happy to see that spring had definitely come to my garden when I got back home. There were even some tiny strawberries growing. Because there were only four or five, I ate them very slowly. They were extremely delicious. As I was eating them, I got to thinking about the simple things in life and taking the time to enjoy them. How often do we get caught up in looking ahead? The bigger picture, the plans, the list of things to do. It's never ending, I know. And the result is we skip over some very lovely, happy moments. Sometimes we need to take a step back from the daily race. Focus on the present and the good things right under our nose. Like that cup of tea I made using some tea a friend had given me from a trip to India. I took my time to prepare it. I sat down in a comfortable chair and I sipped it slowly. I looked out at the garden where the cats were sleeping in the long grass and birds were singing in the hedges. And you know what? The tea tasted delicious. Better, I think, because I'd taken the time to taste it. On any other day, I would have gulped it down in a rush to get ready and rush off to my next appointment or task. Another example is when I was driving back from somewhere recently and I heard some music on the radio that I remembered from a long time ago. In the course of the piece, which was classical, so it was quite long, I arrived at my destination. I parked the car, but I remained sitting there listening until the piece ended. Perhaps this was another 5 minutes or so, I don't remember, not very long. But it was so refreshing. It felt like I had really heard the music and enjoyed it right until the last note. Heavenly. These are all examples of happy moments based on the simplest of things. What about you? Do you have a happy moment to share with fellow Sound Kitchen listeners? Don't be shy. Send them to the Sound Kitchen or get in touch through Facebook. You can leave a message on the Sound Kitchen answering machine or go ahead and record your happy moment and send it to us in an email. All the addresses and phone numbers you need can be found on the Sound Kitchen page of our website, rfienglish.com. When you record, just make sure you hide under a blanket. It makes for better sound quality. That's all from me this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Olya Horton. Enjoy your weekend. Bye for now.
I agree, Olya. To stop and savor the moments makes me happy too. You can hear Olya's happy moment on the first Saturday of every month. Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining us in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, and emails coming. Many, many thanks to Erwan Roma for his input and his mixing mastery. And thanks to you for listening. Be sure and tune in next week, the 14th of June, for the answer to the question about the Choose Europe for Science Summit. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll play you out with music from Erwan, our sound engineer, who's also a musician. This week, Erwan chose medieval music from the French, well, to be completely accurate, Provençal troubadour, Rimbaud de Vaquieras. He was born in approximately 1180 and died in 1207. His life revolved mainly around the court in Italy until 1203 when he joined the Fourth Crusade. Vaquieras spent most of his career as a court poet and the close friend of Boniface I of Montferrat, with whom he served in battle. He was present at the siege and capture of Constantinople in 1204. It's generally presumed that Rimbaud died on the 4th of September in 1207, together with Boniface, in an ambush. Music historians have found only 33 of his songs and only 8 of the associate melodies have survived, including the piece which Erwan chose for us today. Listen, high waves are coming from the sea. Rimbaud de Vaqueras used a wide range of styles and languages in his compositions. In fact, one of his works, Eras Quan Veverdiar, is a multilingual poem where he used French, Tuscan, Galician Portuguese, and Gascon, together with his own Provençal. Impressive, eh? Listen, high waves are coming from the sea. Today's choice by Erwan is performed by the Eduardo Panagua Spanish French Moroccan Ensemble on period instruments. And this is really magic. It was recorded in one of the few remaining Romanesque churches still standing, the Church of Saint-Pierre d'Aulnay in the Charente-Maritime region, a church which was standing at the time of Rimbaud de Vaqueras. So here it is. Listen, high waves are coming from the sea, by Rimbaud de Vaqueras, performed by the Eduardo Paniagua Spanish-French-Moroccan Ensemble. Enjoy. And thanks again, Erwan, for another musical adventure. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind, and stay in touch. And remember, do not confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends, and be a blessing. Be a rainbow in someone's cloud.
Alamar faiva sa das tres.